Hello, and welcome to another episode of the CMO Alliance podcast, CMO Convo. Like always, we're diving into a conversation with a CMO on what's needed to succeed in marketing. Today's guest is Chalamurti Kaushik, is the CMO for HFS Research and an award-winning content creator. We're discussing three core pillars of the CMO role: strategy, skills, and smiles.
This episode brought to you by DeepCrawl. Savvy CMOs know that SEO has never been a more important part of their marketing mix. Ranking at the top of Google search results has a direct impact on revenue by lowering customer acquisition costs, but content and keyword optimization is only part of the picture. Following recent search engine updates, your overall website health and technical performance are key to ranking well in 2021 and beyond. With DeepCrawl's all-in-one technical SEO and website health platform, your team will have the tools it needs to track your website's technical performance, improve page ranking, and stay top of mind with customers by staying top of the search results in Google. Join leading brands who already use DeepCrawl, including teams at Adobe, eBay, Twitch, PayPal, Microsoft, and Canva. Visit DeepCrawl.com to ensure your brand reaches its full revenue potential through the one initiative most marketing teams overlook: technical SEO.
Hi, Nishjula. How are you doing today? Welcome to CMO Convos.
Hey, Will. Nice to talk to you, and I'm excited about doing this conversation with you today.
Oh, me too, definitely. We're kind of doing a sort of overall umbrella look at the role of the CMOs, which we're breaking down into three categories. It's strategy, skills, and smiles, which is always a nice thing to have included in these kinds of conversations. But before we get down to that, maybe it'd be a good idea if you introduce yourself to the audience, tell us a bit about your professional background and your current role as a CMO.
Absolutely. So my name is Nishjula Murthy Kaushik, and I'm the Chief Marketing Officer at HFS Research. I love my name. And to be honest, I've just met two people in my entire life who shared the same name. I have to thank my father for that. So the reason I'm talking about name is that, you know, I think very early on, I realized that, standing out or, you know, sort of having a unique and distinct identity to yourself is powerful, and that's really seeded the thought of, you know, how a personal brand or branding or the importance of name can actually make a huge difference in life. So today, as the Chief Marketing Officer, I'm responsible for the global marketing function, which covers marketing strategy, brand, content, marketing operations, corporate communications, social media, and events, both digital, hybrid, and hopefully very soon we'll be doing live events across the world. And I'm really looking forward to that. I also champion the Charter of Diversity and Inclusion, which is a theme core to HFS values. I'm excited to be leading that, because I think there's no better time than now for us to actively look at how we as organizations or as an industry can promote the case and cause of diversity and inclusion. In terms of my professional background, I've always been excited by doing new and diverse things in my life, and that's fueled my career for more than two decades. As a result, it's taken me across the world to exciting and interesting destinations in the US, Europe, and of course, you know, many parts of India for work assignments. So in terms of my work, I usually like to call it as the first 10 years, the next 10 years, and these 10 years. The first 10 years is where I actually started off my career on the technology side for IT service provider based in India. My role was basically around technology solution development, which included things like programming, designing software solutions, and sort of, you know, deploying them and maintaining them for clients. I worked with clients primarily in the banking and financial services sector. So that was kind of, you know, interesting and important from understanding clients and the industry and, you know, getting into depth of knowing what a customer really needs and wants. The reason I'm mentioning that is, and I think that's very important in the role that we all play as CMOs, right? Firstly, in terms of just understanding and knowing your customer and where they're coming from. I also was fortunate, that during the course of my, the first 10 years, I was lucky to have the opportunity to play diverse roles. So I also moved after my stint in technology, I moved to consulting and strategy, where I worked with clients again to develop their own strategy and, the consulting roadmap and stuff like that. I have this simple philosophy that, you know, every 3 years, you either change your role, your team, your boss, or company. And the reason I'm saying that it is important for your own learning and growth and development as a working professional. The other good thing is, I think by virtue of consciously making those transitions, I've had exposure to diverse cultures, global companies, different work environments, different worldviews and ways of working, which I believe has strongly shaped my career and outlook on life. The next 10 years, or the second decade, as I call it, was primarily focused on work around technology innovations and process innovations and, business innovations, right? So it was really where I was involved in looking at how can we do different things either for our company or for the clients. And that was an exciting phase because I was part of, a couple of intrapreneurship programs where you have the opportunity to work in a corporate but run as a startup. So that was another exciting phase because I understood the innovation life cycle, so to speak, and how you can sort of take a small nebulous idea or which is a seed and then take it up to, a big tree or, get it to flower, right? So that process or that journey of creating something has always excited me and fascinated me. And then these 10 years is really about, using all my knowledge and experience of the last two decades and, putting it all together in the role of the CMO, which I'm currently playing, and see how we can sort of, make a mark as a company or as a respected voice in the industry as we move forward. So, that's really, sort of a story from a time travel perspective.
Awesome. So do you think all these access to these diverse roles, does it give you a certain philosophy that you take into where being the CMO? Like, is there a certain idea that you built your role around, like a core concept?
Absolutely. So I think, like I said, all those little experiences and those, diverse roles have given me, I think, a good understanding of learning, unlearning, and relearning, because, when you change roles, there's always a learning which comes with, how you evolve. And I think that's a very, very important thing for us as marketers, right? And especially if you look at the time that we are in, which is 2021, the entire world has changed in the last 18 months. So, our ability as marketers or, as CMOs or marketing leaders to just be aware of the nuances of change, and then respond to it in a way which makes business sense is extremely important. But if you look at, my philosophy of, the CMO and, what is important, I'd say, first is, I think every CMO or a marketing professional is a customer champion or should be a customer champion, which means your customer should be at the heart of everything you do. It might not be possible always, but at least in terms of intent, if you're doing any activity or any marketing tactic, any marketing program, any strategic marketing initiative that you're running, it should be somewhere pivoted on your customer, right? So that's one. Second, and I think is very, very important more in today's era is that, I honestly look at my role and I've always looked at my role as a business partner, right? Which means we are, I envision my role as a growth enabler to business. I think a lot of organizations and a lot of people tend to look at marketing and marketing function as business support. I think there's a huge difference when you shift your own lens from, being a support function to being a business partner. And the minute you look at yourself as a business partner, I think that's when you truly think about business growth, and when I say business growth, I believe that as a CMO, it is important to have a long-term strategy and plan, which is at least, 80% aligned to business priorities. Yeah, you cannot go off in a very different tangent from what your business or your CEO wants to do, which I know a lot of marketers and CMOs generally make that mistake, right? Like you're not 100% aligned with what your business wants to do. So I think that's another very, very important philosophy, which I've embraced in all the marketing roles that I have played. The third and very important thing is I think every CMO needs to embrace storytelling as a way of brand communication, right? So I do think I was actually hired to play the role of the chief storyteller for the company before I took on the role of the CMO, right? So in some sense for me, every CMO is also the chief storyteller of the brand and the business. And it is very, very important for us to consciously, look at how we could bring creative storytelling in everything we do. So that's another sort of important aspect that I think, we should be mindful of as CMOs. A couple of other things too. One is, I think, importance of data, right? I think we are living in an era where, everything can be measured. Gone are the days when marketers or CMOs could get away with vanity metrics and, soft qualitative stuff like, hey, this campaign has done well. I think we should fall in love with data, right? And we should always ask the tough questions where we are compelled to go and look at data, because data always show great insights, and data cannot lie. The only time when data lies is when the quality of data that you have put in is not right. But otherwise, every time, data gives you a picture which is what it is, so, and that is important for us as marketers or CMOs to have. Other two very important, one is I think embrace technology. There are, 8,000 marketing platforms and solutions which are available, and it's such a complex ecosystem and landscape of MarTech which is available for all of us. That can be mind-boggling, but I just feel as CMOs, once we know our customer, what our customer wants, once we know what the business priorities are, we should be reasonably quickly able to at least have a view of what kind of MarTech solutions, platforms, products make sense for us to achieve what we set out to do. So I think that's another extremely important aspect. Last, which I said, is I think you need to be an eternal student, as a CMO, because you need to be constantly, absorbing, reading, learning, and staying abreast of what's happening, both in terms of industry, marketing, your customer behaviors. So it's just need to have a curiosity for learning and sort of, reading and, getting on the go.
it's interesting you ended with the being a student, because I think a lot of marketers and CMOs are currently having to learn completely new practices to develop strategies into market in today's world, not just in terms of like countries that are still struggling with the pandemic in major ways, but also countries that are moving out of the pandemic, that are lifting restrictions. I'm in the UK, where we're looking forward to July 19th, when apparently they're lifting all the restrictions at once. But then how do you plan ahead? How do you understand what your customers are going to be like? How do you understand what your consumers are going to be like in that post-pandemic world? Like that, as you said, like the past year, past 18 months has changed the world completely. So I think that'd be a nice segue there into the idea of how can you develop strategies for the coming year? What should CMOs be focusing on? Like what are you focusing on and why?
Sure. So I'll just give that in two perspectives. One is, what is it that, how do you define the marketing strategy, right? I would just say, a few basic tenets, which are again, linked back to what I said before. Know your customer, make the effort or take the effort to know your customer, their challenges, their priorities, and most importantly, their content consumption patterns. Yeah. It is very, very important to understand, what is it that they want, or what is kind of, giving them sleepless nights. And I think as a marketer, it is important to know that, because that's when you can kind of, define or run a campaign or create content which can resonate with them. And there are a couple of ways to do that, right? And I think one of the, sort of least used ways is from marketers is ask your customers, talk to your customers, right? And there are not too many marketing professionals who interact directly with customers. Obviously, there are nuances based on industry, geography, organization, culture, whether you're a B2B or a B2C, whether you're a product or a services company. There are multiple nuances, but either which way, there are always ways and means to sort of just check the pulse of your customer. So I think one easy way to do it is ask them. So in terms of what we are doing, that's something which, you know, I'm doing as the CMO of HFS, where I'm trying to talk to customers and, you know, get their feedback on, things from how do they like our website to what would they like to see it at an event, right? Or when would they like to attend a HFS live event, right? To what kind of content is of interest to them, or what kind of content they would like for us as an analyst firm to produce, right? So that's very, very, very important. That's number one. Second is, I think, stay close to business. Have a seat on the business table, right? It cannot be that, you know, you are getting information 5 days after everything, all the decisions have been made. So as the CMO, it is extremely important for you to understand how your CEO or the board or, you know, the executive leadership team is thinking about business and strategy and the future, right? Because again, like I said before, the marketing strategy cannot be independent of business strategy. So, you know, it is very, very important to look at, the business strategy. So in our case, to be very honest, Will, we had an annual research agenda, which we used to draw out at the start of every year. But given the global situation, given that our clients' needs and priorities and what they expect a research firm to produce is changing, right? So how do we respond to those changing customer needs? So a couple of things we are doing, right? One is we are also reviewing the research agenda every quarter, which means we are looking at, hey, you know, is this topic of research that we are publishing something which our clients would like to read about now? Or is it something which is just not of interest to them, which means that we might need to reprioritize what we put out, let's say, this quarter. Yeah. That is one. The second one is, as we interact with clients, we understand how they would like to consume what we have to provide. And then there are also some existing gaps, which they are looking for an analyst firm like ours to provide. So we're also looking at launching new offerings. Like one of the offerings that we're launching is around sourcing advisory, where we're advising large companies on how could they serve, source technology service providers for different strategic digital transformation projects. And because most of the clients across the world, the large organizations are looking at digital transformation as an important priority for them to work on. But the question is always, who is the right service provider to help me or to partner with me on this digital transformation journey? When you're unsure, I think most of us, whether we are businesses or individuals, we always like to go to a trusted, independent third party voice and say, hey, can you give me some perspectives, or can you, just directionally give me some clarity on how I should be approaching this, or give me a short list of three providers or three solutions I can use for a requirement like this. So we are kind of, constantly scanning the market, listening to customers, and, coming up with new solutions and offerings. So in terms of our own strategy and roadmap, Will, what I've looked at for this year, to be very honest, is, have a marketing vision, have a strategy of where you'd want to go directionally. But every other element of what we do as a marketing function is on a quarterly basis, right? Which means, we look at what is it that we'd like to do for this quarter, whether it is from a business perspective, whether it is from a customer perspective, or whether it is from a brand perspective. And then we look at, prioritizing what is important for us every quarter and then working on it. I love data, and I love to use data as the front and center for decision making. And that's something which, you know, I think most CMOs do, and or most CMOs should do if they aren't. But, you know, decision making based on data is always a good way to, you know, course correct and make changes. So even if you look at our social media strategy, we review it every week. We look at how, you know, our clients are responding, the ecosystem is responding to some of the content that we put out there, and then course correct in real time, right? Maybe something is not working. Maybe it's not great to put out something at a particular time of the day. So, you know, just thinking about different nuances of what you're doing, and then trying to look at the most effective way to, you know, build that out. So those are some of the, things that we're looking at. The other one, which I strongly believe as a CMO, is it is important to have one high impact initiative every quarter. You might be doing hundreds of things, but, you know, there should be one initiative which is like really, sort of your ultimate high for the quarter. So in June, I think I mentioned to you when we spoke last, we hosted our first ever One Office digital symposium. And that you know, I call it a digiganza. I think it was wonderful the way it ended up. But, you know, it was just the energy and the passion and, it all just came together as a beautiful orchestra. And, it was wonderful because we had all sort of, you know, parts of marketing working together, right? Whether it was social media, events, MarTech, you know, the platforms we were using, technology, the whole team came together, you know, campaigns, email communications. One sort of high impact initiative, which really furthers your brand and business every quarter, I think is a good way to kind of, you know, make sure that you're, you know, having a strong impact every quarter, and that's really significant, and your clients are also watching them, right? So that's how I look at it.
Digiganza, I like that. That's a great word. I really like that. So in terms of these high impact things, these high impact activations, I think a lot of CMOs and a lot of marketers are feeling a bit wary about pushing ahead with those kinds of things in light of everything that's happened in the past 18 months. Is that wise for us to be cautious, or are we being overly cautious when it comes to those kinds of things? Like, do you advise ambition, and should we be aiming for big things in a post-pandemic world, or is it wiser to just reel things back and wait until you see how the lay of the land looks?
I think ambition is always good. Personally, I think you should be ambitious, because if you're not ambitious, then tomorrow, you know, everything is questionable, right? I think I would answer that question saying that I think it depends on the industry you are in, the geography you're in, right? And, you know, sort of whether you're a product or service or a platform, it needs to be a very sort of, thought out and comprehensive approach. Maybe for some industries, for some kind of products or services, being ambitious is not the right time, right? Because you are, the cash reserves are low. Many businesses are in, just survival mode. So, embarking on very expensive marketing programs or projects might not be welcome. But I also believe that gives you as an opportunity as a marketer to wear your creative thinking hats and look at maybe no money marketing programs, which, sort of still help further the brand and the business, but you keep the costs at optimal level. Yeah. And that's not easy because, it's a fundamentally different way of thinking and it's a fundamentally different skills required to act on those grand plans. But if you don't have an option, then you have to do something, right? So if you have the money, your CEO and the business is growing and they're happy to put all the dollars, then I'd say go for it. But if there's a general sentiment of being cautious and, business is not doing well, then I wouldn't say, to go and ask for millions of dollar budgets for running high impact marketing programs, because it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I suppose it's taken a lot of a lot of relearning processes. If you're in an industry that's previously had like ample resources, say like the tourism industry that's been hit really hard in the last year, then completely had to change how they market, completely change how they just survive. And those skills might take a lot of relearning for CMOs. Like going from a resource poor, a resource rich environment to a very, very resource poor environment takes a lot of relearning, and you have to do it very quickly. And you mentioned the relearning as being an essential skill of a CMO. Is that something that you had to learn to do, or is it something you've always had as like an inherent thing as a marketer? Like, is it something that every CMO has naturally, or is it something you can learn to do?
I don't know if every human or every individual has it naturally, but I think I've always, as a person, and this is more me as an individual, not me as a CMO speaking, as an individual, I've inherently been curious to learn new things. And I think that has been part of, my DNA and, just what excites me as a person. But I also think, looking back now, this whole sort of concept of changing or making a sort of career transition every 3 years, I think inherently equipped me with some skills to relearn and, unlearn and, get into a zone of skill upgrade very consciously, because when you make switches, in 2 to 3 years, there has to be a learning process before you can perform at optimal level. So I think, those multiple, 6 to 7 transitions have helped me understand the process in the way it works for me, right? And everyone's process of, learning and unlearning and relearning is very personal, right? Like, somebody can just snap out of it and, pick up something in a week, and some people, they can't do it for a lifetime, right? Because they just don't know how to do it. So I think a lot of it is personal. But having said that, I think it can be learned, right? It can be taught. But then the point is, how do you do it? Or how much importance you give to that learning process, and what kind of resources do you tap into for that learning? Yeah. I do also believe there is value in formal learning. It is not always about, hey, can I read something on YouTube, or can I just chat with a friend and, try to learn, let's say digital marketing or SEO. It doesn't work like that, right? So a lot of marketing professionals feel embarrassed, to even say that they don't know some things, right? And I think, you don't need to probably say to everybody that you don't know some things. But if you see a gap, the skill gap in yourself, I think you need to put in the time and, the money to, refresh or upgrade your skills. I also interact with a lot of young students and, young professionals. And one thing which I strongly advocate is to do what I call an annual skill audit, right? Which is, you just look at your own skills and maybe skills of, let's say, peers, or somebody who is, let's say, 2 to 3 years ahead of you in the career path, and you'll see there are always gaps in skills. So it is important to make that a little bit of a proactive self-designed learning program, as opposed to waiting to be punched and then having no option, and then you have to just learn everything in very quickly.
Well, you mentioned sort of formal learning to fill these skill gaps. Like, what did you find to be like the most important resources for upping your skill levels when you'd identified those gaps? Like, was it going to your peers and your colleagues and asking them to work with you on the skills, or did you like actually take like courses or anything like that for certain skills?
So to be very honest, when I took on the role of the CMO, I asked myself, what are some of the evergreen life skills or leadership skills which I need to probably strengthen. And there were a bunch of them, but among the top three was public speaking and oral communication, because I just feel as a leader, that's one area that you know, we can always get better on, right? You know, how do you connect with an audience? You know, how do you get them to listen to you? How do you sort of, you know, get them to align to your vision and direction? It is very, very important, especially in the pandemic world where you probably have 5 minutes sometimes to really, you know, get somebody on your side or, you know, sort of get them disengaged in what you have to say for the next 3 months, right? So communication is very, very important. So I signed up for a formal course for a 3-day program where, you know, I worked with, you know, a team who, you know, helped me in understanding my own communication, sort of, you know, patterns. What are some of the things which I can improve on? It was a pretty intense 3-day learning program, paid one, time off from work. The learning was phenomenal. And what I realized is it was a global team of about, you know, 8 professionals, all senior executives from across the world. They were from different cultures, different backgrounds, in different, you know, organizations, but they were all committed to learning, so all of them signed up. There was nobody who, like, you know, missed even a single class. Everybody came. We all got homework. Everyone did all their homework. Everyone did all the practice exercises. So I'm saying, you know, after a stage in your career, it has to be professional learning. You need to, you know, get trained with the expert or with a professional or with somebody who really knows the stuff. It cannot be with somebody who is, you know, just sort of, you know, going to give you a little bit of information and let you fend for yourself. It doesn't work.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot easier to pick up bad habits doing that method as well. If you're going to a peer who seems competent, but they're really just getting by the seat of their pants on certain skills, and they teach you these tips and stuff that work for them, but they might not work for you as well, and they might not be good habits really. They could be just be stopgap solutions. It sounds like a really positive experience. The public speaking session, was that the main thing that you wanted to focus on, or were there other skills that you've been developing, or do you have skills that you're developing right now? What's next? What are you going to scale up in next?
I think communication is something which I think is a journey, and that's something which I will continue to focus on her honing and developing and strengthening as we move forward. I think the other one which I definitely would want to strengthen is around data science and analytics, right? In terms of how do we as CMOs be able to analyze all the data that's thrown to us from multiple platforms, sources, tools, technologies, and just kind of look at an integrated way of, making sense of all of it and, making the right decisions after that. But another skill which I feel is very important for the role that I play and the company I belong to is building high performing teams in this environment, right? Because we're all working in a virtual hybrid environment. The other interesting thing about today's work environment is, the whole concept of a team has changed, right? So earlier, as a team, you would probably be, in one office interacting, having a cup of tea, and you'd stay with each other for a year or 2 years or whatever, right? Now, when you join a company, all that changes is maybe your laptop or maybe even your laptop doesn't change. It's just the voices and faces that change. Nothing else really changes when you talk about a new team. You just sleep one day, you're an employee of company X, and you wake up next day and you're in a company of employee Y. Nothing else changes. You're in your bedroom or in your study and with the same laptop, and it's just you're seeing a different face and a different voice, right? And for me also personally, my team composition is culturally very diverse right now, and also very diverse in terms of just the age demographics, right? Which means I have somebody who's 20 years old, who's fresh out of college. I have somebody who's 55 years old, who is a grandfather. So for me, you know, I think the skill, which the leadership skill, which I need to develop is how do I kind of, you know, sort of build a team which is performing when we are all so diverse and distinct as individuals, right? Because the motivator of a 20-year-old is very different from the motivator of a 55-year-old, right? So, you know, and that's part of my learning for this year that, you know, how do I, as a leader, you know, build an environment where, one, you know, people are genuinely motivated and passionate to do their jobs, and then also how do they align to changing business priorities and strategies, and you know, yet deliver impact. And I think that's a skill which I think most managers across the world are probably grappling with. It has nothing to do with being a CMO. I think it's just about leading or, you know, sort of, you know, working with people in today's era. It's just our reality.
I'm kind of happy you mentioned sort of like the employee motivation, because that does allow us to lead into our third S of the day, which is smiles. And one of the things that a lot of workers have struggled with in the last year is employee happiness, is staying motivated. Like, depression levels have increased massively because of the pandemic, because of people being stuck at home, not having the human contact and stuff. What can CMOs do as leaders to make sure their employees are happy and make sure they're motivated to do the work? Like, is there certain steps that you take to check in with your team, or is it that can be applied to other CMO roles?
Yeah, so there are a bunch of things which I do, and I just share a few of them, right? One is obviously for every single person who is working with me, I do a weekly check-in where, you know, and by design, I structure that in such a way that about, you know, 40% of the time is really about, you know, non-work conversations, right? Because I do think it is important for people to, you know, just have those conversations with somebody who's not family, right? Because you are living with your family the whole time. So sometimes, you know, even if it's like, hey, what did you have for lunch, right? Or, you know, how's the weather? I think those are just interesting, nice conversations. You know, there are days when you're really not interested in owning my video, to be honest, but I do feel that mandating it for some meetings is very powerful, because what I've seen happens is when you mandate that, you know, you have to be on video, then, you know, people actually make the effort to, you know, at least look presentable, put on a smile, you know, kind of just look at another human being and, you know, talk to them, engage with them. And that's, you know, at the end of the day, man is a social animal. So it is important for us to connect and, you know, just see the faces and see the smiles and exchange a few laughs and, you know, sort of, you know, keep that human connect and conversation going. I think beyond that, also for leaders, it is important to, you know, like how there's so much importance to say know your customer. I think it is important to know your people, right? And you know, sometimes you don't always need to ask the person. You know, there is a network, there is an organization, so you know. You know, people share usually, right? So suppose I ask, hey, what's Will's favorite color? I can ask Will, or I can ask, you know, somebody else in the team. So, you know, just little, you know, such, you know, knowing your people and asking a thoughtful question about them. You know, like I said, I have a very diverse team, right? You know, so somebody's mother, you know, was not well and, you know, diagnosed with cancer. Somebody's other parent was having a health issue, right? So the point is, can you ask the questions? Can you sort of, you know, just be more sort of a better listener, right? Sometimes I think after an age of face, I've realized most people realize that, you know, the problems are not going to go away, you know, and they'll take their time to resolve. But I think just being an active listener, just sharing it with somebody, I feel, is important. The other interesting point that I want to make, Will, is if I look at my own career of 2 decades, I've had a bunch of bosses, okay? There is only one boss who I really value as a leader, or I felt he made a difference in my life. And the reason was when I was going through a personal difficult situation, he used to just listen, and he would always, make the time to just check in on me, right? He would never give me advice. He would never ask me any difficult, unpleasant question. He would only listen to what I had to say. And he would just say, hey, are you okay? Right. And I still remember him today. He's the only person who comes to my mind when I'm having this conversation. So I think people, if you're just doing your job as a boss, which is, or a leader, giving work, tracking what people are doing, expecting performance, people will just deliver, what they're supposed to do. But if you want people to go extra mile, be loyal to you, be committed to you, be motivated, I think there needs to be a level of, connect, a level of trust and a level of confidence in each other that, sort of you're one team or like you're one unit, right? So in situations like this, what happens as a consequence of having these conversations is if somebody is going through a difficult time, right, and somebody needs some time off, needs some flexibility, you allow for that, right? Because, you realize that people are going through their own struggles. And I think just the loyalty and goodwill that you as a leader, amass by, being there for your people at times when it makes a difference, they will always remember that. Yeah. So there are times when I'm really very uncomfortable asking people to, let's say, do some things outside of office hours or, do some things on weekends because, everybody is really struggling to find that balance between work and home. But if it's important and I just send them a request, they do it. They never ask me a question, right? And the reason they're sort of, going that extra mile is because when they needed, some kind of support from, let's say, an organization or from a leader, you've given it to them. So I feel one, listening is important. Two is communicating is important. And then also, finding channels to connect and bond as a team. So we as a company are, have these informal all-staff socials where, we connect as a group and talk about things which has nothing to do with work. So it could be like, show me your pet today or, bring your kids today or, ask your spouse to say hi or everybody dress up in green. it's just something which, just sort of, helps people bond and connect beyond work and just creates a more happier environment. Those are just some of the things. But again, Will, this situation we are in, the dynamics and sort of realities we are all living in changes every day. So like we respond to customers' needs as leaders, we also need to listen to our employees and I think respond to, their changing needs. But I think in general, listening, communicating, and I think showing that you care is important. And that can manifest in many different ways because a little about it is your own personal style of, how do you express and show emotions as a leader or an individual. But fundamentally, if you genuinely care, people can sense it. So I think then they do, respect and they do reciprocate to that sentiment.
Definitely. And I think having those kind of those staff socials as well gives people something to look forward to as well, especially if yeah. they've been stuck at home all the time. They've only seen certain faces in like a work context and stuff, or they've only seen certain, the only people they've seen in a social context, like their family as well. Like it, you need those outlets as well. And having that something to look forward to, I think is a very important part of motivation and happiness. So perhaps as a final note, Nishala, what are you looking forward to this year? What are you looking forward to working on? What are you looking forward to doing with your team? Like what's the big project that you're building up to that's got everyone excited?
Yeah. So, you know, I've stuck with my philosophy of having one high impact quarter sort of initiative every quarter. So the next thing which I'm looking forward to is we are planning to host our first ever live or hybrid event in New York in November. So I'm looking forward to that because I think it would be just fun to, you know, hop on a plane and, you know, travel to New York and, you know, meet everybody. We're also launching an awards program. It's our first ever awards program where we are looking at recognizing organizations who are doing some super cool stuff in, digital transformation and there's designing and innovating on emerging technology solutions. So that's something which will culminate in next February in London. So that's the other sort of, you know, big thing that I'm looking forward to. And then we're also looking at doing something, really exciting in India, mid next year. So I really have work chalked out for me till next June. So it's going to be busy times ahead.
Yeah, but better to be too busy than not have anything to do at all, surely.
I agree.
Yeah. On that note, I think that's a great note to end on there, Nishla. Thank you very much for your time today. Really appreciate it. Some really cool stuff here. I'm sure our audience appreciates it as well. I want to thank them for listening, and we'll be back soon with more CMO Convos.